Was but, it not?
Well, I was going to say that discussion was the occasion for taking a look at the breadth and the intensity of the state bar's influence in Michigan and in the Supreme Court. It's kind of a catalyst for the broader discussion, that's all.
Backing up a bit, was it not only in 1970, I think it was, I think when Tom Brennan was Chief Justice, that the disciplinary apparatus was given a thorough shaking up, and for the first time, whatever the disciplinary commission is called, was called then, was constituted in quite a careful way to include a broadly representative panel of people, including two laymen. One of them I happen to know, John Murray, is a friend of mine.
That's
right. And then there was a fellow from...
Monsignor Kern.
Was it Monsignor Kern? But at any rate...
I think.
That had a very salutary effect. There were other things that were built into the system at that time. I remember this because, remember, there was a messy situation occurred down in Livingston County that was widely publicized. The Irish fellow that ran the place.
Brakey.
No. Livingston County.
Oh, Livingston. Lavin.
Martin Lavin.
Lavin.
Yeah, he had kind of crowned himself down there, and he jerked the judges around and stood by while the widows were raped. They were plundered. The old people. And that was pretty bad. And there was a reaction to it.
Yeah.
The bar, took notice, and there were some hearings. And I can remember T. John Lisinski talking in the House of Representatives one night. Somehow, I don't recall the occasion. But this attracted a lot of people's attention, and out of it came something that was pretty good. And that's probably what you're referring to. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, because it had been fixed once and was working pretty well. But at any rate, the court did. Was it pretty solidly in favor of dividing the process by the time that this decision was reached?
No, during that period, we did an awful lot of things 4-3. Mm-hmm. The decision to divide the process was a divided decision in the Supreme Court. Whether it was 4-3 or 5-2, I don't remember. But I remember Thomas Giles and Chuck Levin arguing vigorously for the division, and Soapy, whose talents were just enormous, he was the best listener on the court. He would claim no particular expertise, no knowledge based on experience about the inner workings of the bar or the disciplinary process, or how lawyers would get in trouble, and how sanctions would affect their practice. Didn't claim any knowledge of that, didn't have any particular knowledge. He'd listen carefully, and he would do and did with respect to that issue what he did with respect to so many decisions. Many of them having to do with deciding cases, a process which I criticized in him. He would wait until he had a firm feeling of what was fairest, based on what he knew. And that was the governor, the administrator, the executive coming through. If you got the power to do something here, then figure out what's probably the fairest thing to do and then do it. Often without a lot of concern about such principles as judicial self-restraint and the separation of powers. Well, I'm talking now about an administrative rulemaking where there is no separation of powers and no need for self-restraint particularly. But I remember that he was, not a reluctant, but he was kind of a silent, late vote in support of bifurcating. It just seemed to him, I remember him saying, probably fairer than having the same body both prosecute and adjudicate. A hard position to respond to.
do you feel that it's worked out pretty well?
Yes, I do, yeah.